When we're in the middle of a piece about Nevuah, the Rambam is now talking about Navi Hashem. Who's a Navi Hashem? He says, it's a clear statement, that it's obvious that a Navi Hashem has to be someone who's a fitting candidate for it, person who's polished character traits, a chacham, etc., etc. If not, if someone who comes in who's an illiterate shepherd, then Besdin wouldn't even bother listening to him if he claims to be to tell us Nevuah. He could be, I said last week, I believe, that he could be killed as being for being a Navi Sheker, but to be a Navi Emes, he has no chance at all. Similarly, the Navi Hashem, in order to be a Navi Hashem, cannot try to change Torah, add on to Torah, subtract from Torah, tell us something new. In Perusha Torah, he cannot do any of those things. He simply comes to tell us to keep Torah better. That is what a Navi Hashem does. That's not why Yashke is. Yashke is not a Navi Sheker. Because of that, simply.
Is that one of the reasons?
Well, yeah, if he would have claimed prophecy, he would have been a Navi Sheker. That's true. But he didn't really claim prophecy. I haven't read the False Testament carefully. So I really haven't. Wait, I'll be with you in a second. I haven't read the False Testament carefully, but people claim that he doesn't really claim to be. He doesn't say Dvar Hashem, God's word came to me. Okay. Rather, he like Kiel tried to do it on his own. But of course, as I believe I said other places, but it's hard to remember where I say where. But he didn't. The False Testament was not written down right as it happened.
Right.
It was re-edited and re-edited later and later. Yeah.
There is all concept about how a Navi is actually, in certain cases, allowed to change Torah.
We'll see. Harasha. We're not there yet. That's
Harasha.
Harasha. We'll get there. Not this week. That's going to take a little while to get there.
That's why, by the way, we shouldn't speak with that weird suf, which doesn't actually exist. It's just a
What can I tell you? It's not. I'm not going to get bogged down in debate. It's not yeshivish. It's traditional Ashkenazi pronunciation. Okay. Now let's go on. Similarly, now the Rambam's coming on. He's in the middle. He already said it, but he comes back to it. How does a Navi prove himself to be a Navi? What does he do? How does a Navi prove himself to be a Navi? Does he need to Does he need to perform a miracle similar to Moshe, Eliyahu, Elisha, etc., etc.?
That's not a miracle.
10 miracles.
No, the Rambam says...
Yeshayahu
performed miracles?
Well, he put the son that was named...
He was already a Navi. He was already a Navi at that point. Okay. So what does a Navi have to do?
Is it 10 miracles or 10 predictions?
Yeah.
10 predictions. 10 predictions. He has to predict accurately the future. He has to accurately predict the future. The Rambam's going to go over and try to prove this point a number of times. And the reason why the Rambam's being so careful in proving this point is he's arguing with Reb Sadyuga. The Rambam's arguing with Reb Sadyuga. Reb Sadyuga. You know who Reb Sadyuga was? Rebbeinu Sadyuga. He was big. Migdolei Gaonim. And the Rambam, felt he could argue with him. But you don't just argue with Reb Sadyuga like he says this and I say that. You have to back yourself up. Therefore, the Rambam is backing himself up. And we'll see, we spoke about some last week, and we'll see he's going to come back another time or two and show us that he has proof to his approach that the way a Navi proves himself as a Navi is through predicting the future, not through performing miracles. That's the Shita of the Rambam. Okay. That was just like a recap from last week. Now let's go on. Okay. Now the Rambam wants to know. This is a very... I hold this is one of the most key, important points in this part of the Rambam. The Mamish... This is such an important point. The Rambam's asking now, how do we know what's classified as a prediction? The Rambam says, Pen yachshav cheshav v'yoma. A person might say, you have astrologers, you have... all sorts of people doing, not kosher things. Today we don't have that so much. I mean, we have today. We have weathermen, we have political analysis, etc., etc. Like in more modern parlance, Rambam would ask, what's the difference between a Navi and a meteorologist? What's the difference? Meteorologist tells you, is it going to rain tomorrow or not? I mean, of course, we know right now it's very unlikely it's going to rain tomorrow. Very unlikely it's going to rain tomorrow.
From the meteorologist.
No, because we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Israel, and in Israel, it's not that likely that it's going to rain tomorrow. When we get into, when we get to the middle of Cheshvan, it's going to be much more likely. But right now, it's not so likely. Political analysis, economic analysis, they all have their predictions, trying to figure out what's going on. So what's the difference between the Navi and these people? That's what the Rabbi wants to know. Now, it's very interesting. I once had, a number of years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, maybe it's a little more than that already, it's hard to remember. I had a psychologist in my house eating my table. And this guy was...
Psychoanalyzing?
No, he didn't. He didn't psychoanalyze me. He was explaining to me how he used astrology, how he used horoscopes and astrology in order for him to assist his diagnosis and... his diagnosis and his treatment of his patients.
I'm sure that's totally untraditional.
I don't know enough about the field to say, but I'm telling you, I'm quite, the guy was a psychologist talking to me about it, and he explained to me, he said, there is definite use and positive purpose to astrology, but you have to understand it's not accurate. You get some certain general ideas. You get some general ideas, but they're not accurate. And sometimes, you think it means one thing, and as you work it out, you see it means, and it means another thing. And we're about to see the Rambam talk about that. So Rambam says, what's the difference? Again, what's the difference between a Navi and astrologers? What's the difference between a Navi and an astrologer and a meteorologist? What? Now, he might argue, not just to ask about the person. You're certainly right. There's no question that a meteorologist and an astrologer doesn't have to be a good person. They could be a really low life. But if he's good at his profession, he could tell you, he'd give a pretty good shot at how hot it's going to be tomorrow, or how cold, or is it going to be cloudy. So the Rambam says...
Well, I have a very good answer, though. One claims that it's from God that's telling it to
him,
the other one...
Ariel says one's claiming from God and the other not.
No. No, that's not the answer.
Good shot, good try, but no. The Rambam says the difference is accuracy rate. Not only accuracy rate, what is... Is it absolutely accurate? Or it's not absolutely accurate. Nevuah is giving over absolutely accurate predictions of the future. Down to the last book.
But it's not accurate that it's not Nevuah.
Yonah. Why?
Oh, I can't get another
one. Because all the predictions
are
made him look stupid.
Yonah. Down to the watch with Yonah.
Woo!
Great question.
Yeah!
Okay, that's a good question. I hope we're going to get to it. The Rambam is going to deal with it tonight. But if not now, you'll have to wait until the winter. The Rambam is going to deal with your problem. The Rambam is going to deal with that problem. But first, the Rambam says, what is Nevuah? Nevuah is real accuracy. Pure, absolute accuracy. Not approximate like this or sort of like that. That's not Nevuah. Nevuah is absolute accuracy. It's not the weatherman says it's going to be 87 tomorrow. Sometimes it's 87. Sometimes it's 84. Now, astrologers, as I said, astrology is not such an exact science. We have totally lost the science of astrology, by the way. It was definitely at one time a real science. The ancient Egyptians, wait a second, were quite big experts in it. But we have lost that science. It was not really that accurate. It was somewhat accurate. So this, as the Rambam, just let me finish this, the Rambam, then I'll get to you. The Rambam says, the difference between these different people making astrological horoscopal predictions is exactly how much less each one lies than the other.
Yeah.
Does Rambam
believe in astrology?
Does Rambam believe in astrology? Good question.
We believe it existed.
The astrology, again, I told you. Astrology is a chachma. The exact limits of the Chachmah, I don't know. We don't have the last, I don't know the last people who had real understanding of it lived. I'm not sure. Certainly, in the modern times, the real understanding of that Chachmah has been lost. He mentions it over here. He does not discount it out of hand the way he does discount other things. definitely the mainline approach in Chazal is that astrology is a chachma. It has a certain amount of accuracy in it. Okay. Okay. Yes, we are.
What about Yoda?
You got that one. That's the third time, okay? Okay, now, for now we're going to go on to Sefer Tehillim. Pasuk says we say it every Friday night. We say it every Friday.
We say a lot of things every Friday.
Yeah, that's right. We say it Friday and Friday night. So if I tell you we're saying something... If I say something we're saying Friday day and Friday night, what am I talking about? No? Anybody, any guesses? What? Shir Shalom. What's your Shir Shalom on Friday?
Hashem
Malach goes Rubesh, Rubesh, finally the last pasuk. And Vesecha Nemdu Ma'od
Vesecha Kolesh.
And what's that Nesach mean? You're with me, your testimonials. Your testimonials are very true. For your house, that place of your holiness. Hashem Loach Yamun, Hashem will be in a long time. What's Erasacha? Rashi says, Shaidu Vivtiqa Nviyecha Vesecha Shunava Kodesh. Erasacha are the prophecies, the testimonials that the Nevi'im said about the Beis HaMikdash, the Nemdu Ma'od. The Radak adds in, Ma'omu Ma'od, Shalomu Shalaya Shulu Adam Shum Savit Blibo Ba'azbazeh. When they happen, when all the Nevu'ahs and the Nevi'im happen, the Nevi'im Akronim is full of Nevu'ahs, which are going to happen with us in the future, they didn't yet happen. Nevi'im Akronim is full of Nevu'ahs which happen in the future. I'm not sure if we can get to that, and how much we see that some Nachba case this year or next year, I'm not sure yet. These nevuahs are nemdu ma'od. They're very, very, very believable. What's very believable means when they happen, no one's going to have any something, no one's going to have any doubt at all. This radak is like the Rambam. What Rambam said? The Rambam says that nevuah means absolute accuracy. We have all these prophecies in the Nevi'im. We can definitely see part of the ones, some of the ones in Yeshaya, the famous, messianic prophecies in Yeshaya. See some of them definitely. When they happen, does not be a question at all that they came true. Eirusecha nemdu ma'od. The Eirus, the prophecies in the Nevi'im said, are absolutely, there's no question at all when they come true. Now, similarly, a little earlier, then to Peites. Peites in Tehillim is about Malchus Beis Dovid. That's the whole Peites. I don't think we're going to see it in Nachbakias, but you can't see everything. It ends off by saying, Zuchor Hashem Cherpas Avadecha Seisi B'cheki Kol Rabin Omim. Remember Hashem Cherpas Avadecha, that which your servants were a cherpa, were embarrassed and insulted. Seisi B'cheki Kol Rabin Omim. We bore it in our hearts for many nations. Asher cherfu evecha Hashem, asher cherfu ikvos mishikacha. That which your enemies blasphemed you, insulted you. Asher cherfu ikvos mishikacha. They blasphemed the delay of the Messiah. The Radak says over here. What does that mean? It means that it's going to be in such a, it's going to be so long, when the Mashiach comes, be so long from when the Nevi'im actually spoke about it, people aren't going to believe it at all. They're going to think it's the craziest thing in the world, and whoever believes it's almost insane. But when it comes true, then we're going to see it's really true. Okay. Now, There's a nevuah in Sefer Yechezkel. I will. Come on, guys. There's a nevuah in the end of Yechezkel, which occasionally Ke'ilu comes in. And I would have caught in and out of the news, but people talk about it occasionally. And I believe now that we're talking about the definition of nevuah. And Nevuah means absolute, pure accuracy. It's worthwhile looking at this Nevuah a little bit and seeing if it's, deserved. I mean, in a certain sense, of course, A nevuah is always worth speaking about and thinking about. But is it something which is accurately, absolutely happening or not? Okay. Towards the end of Yechezkel. Towards the end of Yechezkel sees Bayis Shlishi built. After he sees Bayis Shlishi built, he's brought in. Wait a second. Yeah, here we go. He's brought into the Bayis after the Bayis Kibiyachal is built. And Kibiyachal, after he sees in a prophetic vision that the Bayis is built. And he sees water coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He sees water, a very small trickle of water coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem takes him outside the Beis HaMikdash, and instead of simply being water, which is a trickle, it's water which is mefakim, it's a whole, it's like a little stream. Afterwards, he takes him another 1,000 amas out, and the water has gotten up to his ankles. After it took him another, he takes him another 1,000 amas, the water's to his ankles. Afterwards, another 1,000 amas, the water's up to his waist. Another 1,000 amas, another 1,000 amas, it gets even up to his, up to here. Another 1,000 amas is so deep, you can't cross across it on your own. This is...
They didn't know how to swim
that
then?
He definitely knew how to swim. But so the point... Well, no, because that's like a depth of water. When water is so... What's the way to measure water? If water is so deep, the only way to get across is swimming, then that is deep water. Now, you got it? Okay. Now, the water goes on. That's not it. That's the first half of it. Hashem says to him, you see this? He takes him onto the riverbank. And he takes him under the riverbank. He tells him, this water is going to go out. Part of it's going to go to the Dead Sea and cure the Dead Sea. The other part is going to go to the Mediterranean. And all the water in the ocean is going to turn from salty to sweet. Okay. And the Nevuah is mentioned at least two other places in Nach. The Nevuah is mentioned two other places in Nach, but as Kihilu, the norm is Nevuah is mentioned in Yechezkel are much clearer usually than Nevuah is mentioned in other Svarim. That's just a straight observation. For example, Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog is very clear in Yechezkel, and other places it's like all over the place, and Yechezkel is the best place to see it. Okay. This Nevuah is not talking about little trickles of water which may or may not be coming around Har Bayis right now. This is no question at all. This Nevuah is not talking about that. It's not talking about it. This Nevuah is a very clear messianic prophecy which has not yet come true. When it comes true, it's going to be true the way it says it. Not that we're going to, like, there's water and we'll say this water means that water. It's not going to say this water means that water. When the Amos of the Nevi'im, when this Nevuah, the Yechezkel says, come true, it's going to come true the way it says in the Pesukim.
So it's going to turn the...
It's going to be the water's not natural water. The water's not natural water.
It's
going
to be sweet.
No. A water, certainly a water's going to be sweet, but it's more than that. That water's going to go down. It's a non-natural water. It started out as a small trickle, almost not seen. Then it turned into a mount seen, and as it goes on, it gets greater and greater. That's not natural water. It is this water. This water is symbolistic. I don't know if it means water. I mean, there are some places where a Navi says something means a mushel, not exactly what it says. That's a nemlo. What it means is v'asad lava. After Bayis Shlishi is built, and after we get to the Gula, the complete redemption, it means that the Ruchnius and Gashmius can be reunited. At the present terms in Olam Hazeh, Ruchni and Gashmius are separated. Physical and spiritual are separated. There is relation between the two, but it's not an exact relation. V'asad lava, they're put back together. And that's the Nevuah in Yechezkel. It's not talking about little trickles of water here and there on Beis HaMikdash, around Har HaBayis. Arabs get nervous about them. Don't get nervous. Who cares? That's not what it's talking about. And it's not going to be more. When it happens, we're going to be sure about it. It's not going to be any questions at all.
What trickles of water are there now?
There are here and there. Sina. Now, let's go on. Where are we listening? Let's go on. There are some people who claim that certain... dynamic speakers, leaders, are prophetic. You know, I don't know, if you keep your ears open carefully, you'll hear certain people claim, I'm talking about Jewish people, that their leaders are prophets. Certain claim put out there.
Is this about the Gra?
What?
Did they say that about the Gra?
Did they say about the Gra? I highly doubt it. The Gaon would have probably slapped you in the face if you'd have said such a thing. The Gaon himself said he could understand. He could have a real understanding of. The Gaon said he could understand every generation back to the people who saw the Nevi'im straight. That's something's beyond him.
Vilna Gaon was Kramer from Kramer's Laws.
Okay, the Vilna Gaon is the Vilna Gaon. He's also known somewhat in the world for one or two of the things he did mathematically. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I want you to know. I mean, the Ramchal talks about this. It's a statement which flows in and out of Sifrei Harishonim, etc., talking about someone having Ruach HaKadosh. For example, people say the Rabbim had Ruach HaKadosh, Rashi had Ruach HaKadosh, etc. They say things like that. No. So you see, they say the Rabbim had Ruach HaKadosh, the Rashi had Ruach HaKadosh. The Ramchal says that doesn't mean Ruach HaKadosh like Ruach HaKadosh in the Nevuah. I mean, here, let me put this up. People say the Ramchal had Ruach HaKadosh. There's some people say about the Ramchal. I don't know. The Kalash was the Ramchal, and he was not even my age when he died. They're like, you know, unbelievable. And I don't know how he did it, you know?
Ruach HaKadosh.
Okay. No. So the Ramchal himself says, he says explicitly that when we talk about a Rishon or the Ari or someone like that having Ruach HaKadosh, it does not mean Ruach HaKadosh like Nevuah. Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah is a flow from Hashem that a person can actually feel. Not that this is just the Siyata Dishmaya helping him. It's even more than that. The Ruach HaKadosh of Ruach HaKadosh is a strong tikkun. It's a very strong shefa and tikkun on a person which changes the mamish. And that hasn't happened. It's very quite clear from the Ramchal. It's quite clear from the Ramchal that hasn't happened since the last Navi, whose name was Malach. Yeah, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah also had a Ruach HaKadosh, It hasn't happened. That's the last time it happened. That's a long time ago. I'll give you an example. I know very clearly. You know, I've read a nice amount of Reb Shach's letters. And I can tell you right now, and I'm not Chas v'Shalom, ki iru bin pogeya and Reb Shach's covered. But Reb Shach did not know Kabbalah at all. He didn't. You read his letters, he asks certain questions, and you can see from the way he answers them, he did not know. What? No, Rabbi Shach, Reb Lezer Shach. What? The Rosh Hashiva Panovich died about 6 years ago. He's a great man. But he didn't know Kabbalah, and one could even, you know, I don't even know if he learned all the Maral. I don't know if he learned the Maral at all. He knew Shas very well. He knew Shas Be'ilim backwards and forwards. But he didn't really know Kabbalah. I don't know, Ramosha Feinstein? I don't know if Ramosha knew Kabbalah either. I don't know. I don't have his...
Do you know Kabbalah?
No, I don't. So, I'll tell you a story with Reb Shach. Story. A guy comes to him. I guess the story's like this. A guy who lived in Muncie, and he wasn't religious. His wife wasn't religious. His wife started going to Rebbe Wine's shiurim, and she eventually started going to Shabbos. She became Shomer Shabbos, and you know, he's a real classic liberal Jew, which means you do what you do, I do what I do. As long as you're not bothering me, I won't bother you. No problem. So she would come home. He would go golfing every Shabbos morning, and she'd go hear Rebbe Wine's. And she'd come home and she'd tell him these interesting stories, but she could never get the punchlines right. And after a significant amount of time, he was going crazy from not hearing the punchlines. It was like, you know, it was like going crazy. So he figured, instead of golfing at 10, he'll make up with his golf partner to go at 12 or 1. And he'll go to shul also and hear Rabbi Wine speak so he can get the punchlines. You know, it was like, you know, dangling. She was dangling Rabbi Wine's stories in front of him without getting them right. Okay, fine. So he goes, and you know, slowly but surely becomes more and more religious. Now, Rabbi Ryan's first job as rabbi was in Miami, back in the 50s, and he knew the Panovitcher Rav. You know the Panovitcher Rav, what?
50s.
That's a long time ago. In the 50s. He knew the Panovitcher Rav, Rabbi Kahaneman, and he used to say some stories over about the Panovitcher Rav. Fine, okay, so a little while later, this man was in Bnei Brak. He figured, you know, he hears Rabbi Wine speak about the Panovitcher Rav. He'll go to Yeshivas Panovich and say hello to the Panovitcher Rav. He walks into Panovich, and now, based on my knowledge of how things work, this must be in the late 70s or early 80s. He walks into Panovich and he says, I want to speak to the Panovitcher Rav. So the Bachram take him to Reb Shach. And he says to Reb Shach, I have regards from Rabbi Wine from Miami. He used to be Rav in Miami. So Reb Shach had never been in Miami. So he knew right away this man speaking about, thinks he's Rabbi Kahaneman, the Panovitcher Rav. So he says to him, no. I'm not the Panovitcher Rav, I'm the Panovitcher Rosh Hashiva. You mean Rav Kahaneman, he's the Panovitcher Rav. Rav Kahaneman, you know, died some time ago, but, you know, it's nice to meet you. And he turns to the guy, looks him straight in the eyes and says, I want you to know, the most important thing is to be Shomer Shabbos. And the guy was mamish taken, the guy who it happened, wrote the story, was mamish taken aback, because right at this point in his life, he couldn't decide he should become Shomer Shabbos, he quit the golf completely or not. Should he quit that golf completely or not?
He couldn't play golf on Sunday, rather?
He must have had a really good golf partner on Shabbos. I don't know. Yeah, you can play golf on Sunday. He was at this point in his life, he was deciding to become Shomer Shabbos, and Ke'ilu, you can think that's Ke'ilu, it's something Siyata D'Shemaya. It's nothing Siyata D'Shemaya. If you would have told Reb Shach, you're a mother, you're a Ruch HaKadosh, Reb Shach would have slapped you in the face. No question about it. If someone would have said to Reb Shach the whole story over to him, and said, you are a mother, Rabbi Shach, he would have slapped the guy straight in the face. That is Siyata D'Shemaya, that the Rebbe that Hashem sends to Tamchach, and to Shema. That's all that is. I mean, it's not nothing. It's not there aren't holy people, there certainly are holy people. They're very holy people. Huh? They're very holy people. But the difference between a holy person who has the Yatid Ishmael, who Hashem helps him to say the right thing to the right person, it's an amazing thing. Because Baruch puts the right thing, person's cluster, trying to put the right thing in his mouth. That's not Nevuah. The difference between that and Nevuah is Almanish Yom Kalayla. It's so far apart, night and day, it's so far apart, it's unbelievable not to think that anyone who like makes a big deal out of the Rambam could ever make such a claim to Nevuah without the technical details, the way the Rambam defines Nevuah. It's like it's really quite mind-boggling that anyone could actually think such a thing. Good question. How did the Rambam get that? That we spoke about last week. The Rambam, his question was, is as we estimated 10 is probably the right amount. The Rambam has, it's unclear the Rambam's exact makor for that statement, but the Rambam has two rayas to that point. In other words, two issues. There's proofs for predicting future, A, and how many. The how many, the Rambam brings a raya from Shmuel. It says that everyone knew from Dan ad Beer Sheva that Shmuel is a Novi Lashem, and the Rambam from that infers that many people must have come to Shmuel to ask him small minor things, and he must have answered them accurately. That's why the Pasuk could say everyone in the Jewish nation from Dan to Beer Sheva knew that Novi was a Novi Namel, knew that Shmuel was a Novi Namel Lashem. That's the Rambam's proof to that. It's not 100% clear, but it is clear that's the Shita of Rambam. Okay, just wait a second. Okay, let's go on.
Small things, so they would ask him on these with your ass
and what?
What type of small things would they ask him on
those? So that we saw last week, the Rambam says it's very bizarre that Shaul asked Shmuel where his lost donkeys are. That's a question you ask a Navi. I lost donkeys, I lost my watch. Go ask a Navi. See, I forget my watch here. Go to Esther's. You go to Navi and say, by the way, where did I leave my watch? I lose things all the time. You know, the Rambam is very bothered that anyone should go and ask Shmuel such a question. From that, the Rambam says, that which they did it, and it's presented as an open, clear fact. It's absolute, the Rambam says, that's absolute proof. Without a question, that you can ask any question. The Navi, the Rambam also infers from the fact that the Parsha says Hashem gives you a Navi instead of Horesh Shemayim, instead of astrologers, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, a Navi must be filling the same place that these Horesh Shemayim fill. Just like these Horesh Shemayim made small little predictions on everything, so too a Navi made small predictions on everything, but the Navis were accurate. Okay. Okay, now let's go on a little. The Rambam goes on. I'm just going to mention this briefly because the Rambam, he mentions this in Yad Chazaka also. He mentions this in Yad Chazaka also, so he feels it's an important point, even though I don't quite get the complete depth of it yet. But if the Rambam says it over here and then he repeats it in Yad and then the end of Yisrael Torah, he holds it's an important point, so I'm going to say it over, even though I'm not, I'm not sure exactly why he feels he has to say it, but let's say it anyway. Now, one of the recurrent themes in Sefer Yirmiyah appears at least four times is Yirmiyah and the Nevi'ei Sheker and the false prophets. So one of the times it appears, Yirmiyah says to them, Hanavi Asher Ito Choro Misapra Choro Masher Dvaro Ito Dvaro Dvar Ito A Navi who has a dream, he should tell the dream. The one who my word comes to should tell my words which are true. Why are you comparing straw to grain, says Hashem? And Chacham said, and Chazal tell us, the Nevuah is bar, Nevuah is grain, and it's being compared to Nevi'ei Sheker is tevah. The Nevuas Ha'emes is by its grain, it's pure, it's 100% grain without any tavern, any straw mixed in. Not like Nevi'ei Sheker, it's tavern, it's straw with a little bit of grain mixed in.
Or grain with a little bit of straw?
Well, the Rambam feels quite strongly that it's very unlikely any Navi Sheker would have mostly true predictions. I mean, true like Nevi'ei Emes. Again, that the Rambam's definition of true isn't that you say, you have 73 Svarim in Hanukkah, you have 75. So some people say that's you basically got it right. Yeah, well, I'm only two off. The Rambam says no. That would be no Moshah.
What if they say you will buy many Svarim?
Now, see, that's too vague of a statement to be judged. That's too vague of a statement to be judged, and that doesn't come. We're going to see now, we're going to go on now and start talking about, we're going to get to John's question. I'm not sure. We're going to go on now and get to John's question. Now the Rambam wants to know, what are the exceptions to what he said? He said a rule. Another MS, his predictions come true, absolutely purely true. That is the definition the Rambam has given out. What exceptions are there to the rule? There are two exceptions to the rule. Two exceptions. The first one is easier to understand, and the second one is more difficult to understand. We're definitely going to get the first one down today. Definitely. The second one, I'm not sure. The first exception to the rule is the only time you say the prophecies have to come true are when they Nevuah or Tovah. The way Chazal said is Nevuah or Tovah, Eino Chazeres. A prophecy... A prophecy for the good is not change. Mashenke, however, a prophecy for a bad event, chazeres, can be changed.
So there's two ways to say that the ear is a bapha, right? A bapha,
the chuvah,
the
bapha. And then Rambam's going to explain there are four reasons why a nevuah may be changed. There are four reasons why nevuah may be changed. The first reason is
tshuva.
Right, is that it? No. The first reason is compassion. No. Yeah. First reason is compassion. No. You're right. First reason is tshuva.
Yes.
If there's a tshuva, then Hashem changes his mind. Now it's very interesting. I have a whole other shtickel terror somewhere else. That if you do tshuva, that's called kiyum nevuah. But you see in the Rambam that that's not true. I don't want to. That's a little too complicated for right now. The first reason why the Nevuah may be changed is tshuva. If they do tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu will change his mind. And that's what happened in them. Got it? Second reason is chemla.
Nineveh, what are
you
talking about
Nineveh?
Yoda and Nineveh. No, before Nineveh,
before Nineveh?
There was a different Nevuah that Yonah gave.
Yeah, what was his other Nevuah?
I don't know what it was, but we started learning Sefer Yonah last week.
It's a bad
Nevuah, that it was something bad about Bnei Yisrael. Is it only with Bnei Yisrael, or could it be with a different Am?
A Nevuah or Ra, by definition, can be changed. A Nevuah Ra, a prophecy for a bad event.
Right, so that's what happened. He prophesied that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and he said that it was going to, his own Nevuah was only that it was going to be destroyed, but he said that it was going to be destroyed now, and then the Bnei Yisrael did tshuva, and then it didn't happen, so Bnei Yisrael all thought that he was a Navi Sheker, and then they all made fun of him.
Yonah. I'm not sure. I'd have to look. It's an explicit Rashi there.
And it's really
that's not. You know, it's really, it's quite explicit.
We learned this in Sefer Yonah class with Rabbi Kessler.
Okay. I'll definitely discuss it here. If you want, I'll discuss it. To make you happy, I'll discuss it with Rabbi Kessler. But I personally will look first in Rashi.
Or you can invite him over to shop.
Okay. The second reason is Kamla. The third reason, the Rambam says, is Erech Apai. Hashem is Erech Apayim. He takes Hashem a long time to become angry. What is the difference between Chemla, Erech Apayim, and Tshuva? What's the difference between Tshuva and Erech Apayim?
He just
pushes it off. Okay, now, let's see. We'll go on. Now the Rambam speaks himself out. And this is what we'll see. Kamosha also la'achav, v'amu ma'adei oyo, v'avu yoro, b'yama, b'mei b'no avu yoro. Like we find by Achav, are you familiar with the story of Achav and Naboth's vineyard? Kerab Navos. Familiar with the story?
Achav killed his wife sometime later, somewhere in the vineyard or something.
Okay, I guess I need to say the story of her. Story!
Yeah.
Achav had a neighbor. We know who Achav was.
He's in Once Upon a Time.
Evil King.
Evil King. Excellent. Achav had a neighbor, his name was Navos. Navos. Yes, correct. Navos had a beautiful vineyard which was next to Achav's palace. Achav wanted to go and buy it from Navos, and Navos said to him, "Chalilali, chas v'shalom, I can't sell it to you." The reason why he said it is because if you look in Chumash, I don't do it on the spot. But you look in Chumash, you see you're not allowed to sell your steyachuza. You're not allowed to sell the field that you inherited from your forefathers straight back to Yoshua ben Nun. You're not allowed to sell that unless it's mitoch tochek, unless you're totally out of money. But if you're not out of money, you're not allowed to sell it. So therefore, Novos wasn't out of money. So he says to Achav, "Chas v'shalom, I can't do it. I'm not allowed." Achav got very, very upset about it. Achav got very upset about it. So upset, he was sick. He comes, his wife, Izebel, comes to him. And she says to him, "What's going on? What's the story?" "What's the story?" So Achav tells Izebel the story. So she says back to him, "That's how a king behaves. I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry." What does she do? She goes and she hires out Eddie Shecker false witnesses. She has the false witnesses say, "The Navos berach el king v'merach." Navos cursed God and the king. And they put Navos to death. And she tells Achav, "Go take the field. Go take the field." One rights he had to the field. It's a machokas and chazal. Yeah. If they were first cousins, and Achav inherited within a Yerusha, or because he said Berach El King Mamalach, he cursed the king and God because he was a Mar B'malchus. Mar B'malchus, machokas and chazal. Mar B'malchus, who gets the property? If you rebel against the king, does the king possess your property? Or it goes to the inheritors, so that's dependent on...
Wasn't there something like he didn't have inheritors or something like that?
Yeah, no, there's the two opinions. Either Novos was childless and his inheritor was Achav, because he was rebellious against the king, that is, he cursed him, therefore the king had the right to seize his property. He goes into his newly acquired vineyard, and Eliyahu walks right into him, and says to him, Haratzach, the Megam Yarashta, you want to kill someone and then take his... You want to kill someone and take his property? So Achav was so shaken up. Achav was so shaken up, he tore his clothes, but he put sackcloth on. Now, really when Eliyahu told him this, he said, Haratzach, the Megam Yarashta, you kill him and take his property. The place where the dogs lick Moses' blood, they're going to lick your blood. You're not going to have anything left. Nothing, nothing at all. Nothing. So, that should have normally happened. But Achav, he didn't really do tshuva. He only did partial tshuva. It wasn't complete tshuva. And because it wasn't complete tshuva, it was not complete tshuva, it was partial tshuva. It was, he felt bad and he did something. Hashem's rechapayim said, not in his times, but in his son's times. If it would have been complete tshuva, it would have been ripped up. And the Rambam has two proofs why it's not complete tshuva. First is if it would have been complete tshuva, then the exact would have been ripped up. I would find other places in Chazal, other places in that. Yirmiyah says about Yechoniah that he's not, nothing's become that all. Nothing at all. Nothing. No one who's going to have any position and the Jewish people are going to come from him. Now Zerubbabel, who's the one who started, who helped build Bayit Sheni, came from Yechoniah. Zerubbabel then Shealtiel then Yechoniah then Kenaniah. So what happened? He did tshuva. It says he did tshuva when he was in prison. So you could rip up, but you could rip it up completely. He did it. He did partial tshuva. That's Erech Apayim. When you have the classic Erech Apayim, it's not just chemla. Hashem feels bad and says not now. If you show some indication that you feel bad, you do something which indicates in some way you may do tshuva. Erech Apayim, not now, later. That's what Erech Apayim is. The fourth way is Hashem ki'ilu may reevaluate it and say because of the schusim, because of merits that you have, instead of happening now, I'll delay it because of the good things that you have.
Achav's father
was Omri. Okay, now one. Okay. Now, the Rambam goes on to show, I just want to show one more little piece and then we'll stop. Aval, in Yivtiach Psuas Tovas, who she's Chachel Rizvan Kotzuv, but when the Navi says over a prediction for an exact time, he says this year is going to be a very peaceful year, and it wasn't. If such a thing happens, you know it's a Navi Shekhar. And the Rambam, I believe the Rambam is quite exact about what he's saying. He says, Rizvan Kotzuv. In other words, if he gives out an open-ended, I was talking to you about that, if he gives out an open-ended promise, that we don't know. When he gives an exact promise, it was Van Kotzov, that's a nevuah that we could clearly define one way or another. That's the type of nevuah the Navi has to give in order to prove his prophecy. These open-ended prophecies, which can be interpreted 5 ways or 10 ways, those are not the nevuahs, even though, I don't know, most... Many, if not most, of the prophecies in the Nevi'im Acharonim are prophecies like that. There's not one pshat in the Muslim, there's 2 or 3, sometimes even many more than that. Prophecy like that, that's not a prophecy which comes into play when a Nevi's trying to prove his Nevuah. It's a prophecy which is, as they say in Hebrew, chad v'chalak. There's no other way to interpret it. There's one way to interpret it. It's very clear. This is with a very exact prediction. Such a thing, those are the Nevuahs that a Nevi builds his Nevuah on. Again, that an example would be, examples around Ram says over here, wait a second, it's going to rain a tremendous amount this year. That is an example. If it doesn't rain a tremendous amount, then that's not enough.
But what
do you say,
what? What defines tremendous?
No, it's tremendous.
No, the Ram says, Shana zu tehek shuma brucha. It's going to be with a lot of rain and a lot of bracha. Instead, there's going to be famine and no rain. So you're right. You're definitely right. It would have to be, even though Shmuel Brucha, there is room for interpretation. You're very good. Zach, very good. The Rambam's also saying that even if Nevuah is not, 1, 2, 3, if it is clear one way and it's clearly the opposite way, then that would kind of constitute Nevuah Sheker, if it would be a Nevuah Latam. Let's see, is there any other examples here? Just wait a second. Mm-hmm. No, that's it. Okay, fine.